commemorate the third Sunday after Easter in the meditation this morning. Let's read the epistle. Epistle is from the first epistle of St. Peter in the second chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Indeed, he is still risen. Today is the third Sunday after Easter, and according to our liturgical calendar, we are still in the season of Easter for the next couple of weeks until the Ascension. Of course, Easter within our Christian tradition is celebrated throughout the year, since every Sunday is a mini Easter, but we are blessed by this specific festive season for the remembrance of Christ's victory over sin and death. Last Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday. We were exalted on the heart of Christ as one who is a true shepherd, who knows his sheep and is known by them. He isn't a hireling, as the King James Version notes. Rather, he is the shepherd who stands his ground to protect his sheep from any harm, like an attack from a wolf. The good shepherd loves his sheep to the point that he would die for them, which he did. The collect then reminded us that Christ is an example to us of what a godly life is, and how we ought to always endeavor to follow in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Today is third Sunday after Easter. After acknowledging the Good Shepherd who atoned for the sins of his sheep and victoriously defeated death through the mighty workings of his love, St. Peter exhorts the beloved on how to live in honor of their belief in the risen Lord. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." The apostle encourages those whom he calls beloved, or strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts and desires which war against their soul. In abstaining, they gain power over these fleshly desires to the end that they embody a godly life to those who do not know God. In saying this, he intends to impart into them a message that they are, or they ought to be, reflections of the power of the resurrected Christ. As reflections, when looked upon by those who do not know God, their good and honest lives shall be a testament to the work and power of the cross. Essentially, St. Peter is asserting to those who share in his belief of the power of the cross that their good actions are a vessel through which those who do not know God can get to know and glorify him. The good deeds reflect the God they serve. St. Peter's exhortation to the beloved continues on by building on the practice of doing good works with submission to the ordinance of man, specifically to leaders and rulers. He says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or unto governors, as unto them that are sent for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Again, we read of St. Peter's emphasis of doing well as a tool to silence the ignorance of foolish men, to the end that God may be glorified. The end goal And this pericope is glorification of God by doing and submitting. See, this entire second chapter of St. Peter's first epistle focuses solely on practical living with respect to godliness. Given that we are reading his words after Easter, he is risen, we know that this isn't about how one can obtain favor to secure salvation. He's already died and resurrected. We know that Christ has already atoned for our sins. But he says this as an act of honor to the one who sacrificed his life. Our abstinence from fleshly lusts doesn't make us worthy of being welcomed into Christ's arms. Rather, abstaining from these fleshly lusts frees our soul to worship God and do good works, which, when seen by those who do not know Christ, shall glorify him. It's an act of evangelism as opposed to a pursuit of righteousness. Of course, this doesn't mean that abstaining from fleshly lusts cannot lead one to the Lord, because the Lord moves mysteriously. But this isn't what St. Peter seems to be teaching about. And neither does the church historically say that one's actions leads to salvation. When we fast, for example, during Lent, by abstaining from food or giving of alms and so forth, we are not garnering spiritual points to draw closer to God. Rather, we are relieving ourselves of things that have shackled us and prevented us from fully worshiping him. In many ways, this is what St. Peter refers to as that which wages war against our soul. So by ridding ourselves of these things, we are abstaining from sinful desires, which leads to living good lives, which, if seen by unbelievers, leads to glorification of God. One of the verses in this epistle that I read, specifically verse 16, resonates deeply with me and my dear wife. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. This resonates with us because Peter's exhortation fell on deaf and hardened hearts 27 years ago, this same Easter period, as malicious men committed atrocious acts of genocide against our people. In 1994, 90% of the entire population of my country, Rwanda, identified as Christian. 90%, over 90% of the entire population looked to that cross and said that God truly died for their sins. How does a country with such a large population of Christians identifying and believing in the God who died on the cross for the redemption of their sins, engage in acts that reflect pure evil? Or as St. Peter puts it, use their freedom as a cover-up for evil. A quote from an article written by a Catholic professor and priest reads, "When a cardinal of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace visited Rwanda, my home country, in 1995, after people had been killed in the genocide, and he visited on behalf of the Pope, he asked the assembled leaders, the priests, he asked them, 'Are you saying that the blood of tribalism is deeper than the waters of baptism?' One leader shamelessly answered, 'Yes, it is.' How do people go from the point of drinking of the same cup and sharing of the same plate in Holy Communion to laying down and throwing away these sacraments and picking up machetes and knives to kill innocent people, people who identify as Christians? How do people who are baptized and regenerated in the Holy Spirit by the power of the Spirit quickly forget their baptismal vows and their confirmation vows and jump for the throats of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ?" I believe this epistle informs us how, when Christians ignore the power that fleshly lusts have over them, they turn to evil. Their souls, which ought to reflect this risen Christ, ceases to do so and they turn to utter depravity. Fleshly lusts, the Apostle Peter says. This is what he's talking about. And in the context of Rwanda, it wasn't a fleshly lust, a sexual concupiscence lust, but that of anger and maliciousness and envy. All this that happened in my country diminish the glory of God. And today many people want nothing to do with the church and have left religion altogether. The bad deeds of the people deglorified God, which is the opposite of what St. Peter is saying. Beloved, may we abstain from sinful desires. May we seek to uplift our neighbors and submit ourselves to the ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For in doing so, we glorify the risen Lord, who, as a good shepherd, died as a propitiation for our sins. And as St. Peter concludes, may we love one another, fear God, and honor the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.